pretty funny. If y'all knew what I've been through for the last 2 weeks, it has been the fullest 2 weeks, I think, of my, well, some of the fullest weeks in my entire life. Did I tell y'all this? It's pretty funny. My college roommate's husband, who I've known since college, every time I see him, he goes, you know, I think the name of your autobiography is going to be, you would not believe what's happened in the last 24 hours. It's so crazy. Anyway, that really is the title for today. You would not believe what's happened in the last 24 hours. It's so crazy. But I'm very glad to be here. And I think God has some really good things to say. At least he had some good things to say to me. So I will share to you what God said to me. All right. And there's a really great African proverb that says, I threw a rock in the dark and it hit you. All right. So if this is a rock that's thrown in the dark and it hits you, then this word was also meant for you. Okay. So I'm not saying it's for everybody in the room, because it may not be, but it may be for some of you. All right. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about Diana in the Building on the Basics talks about setting healthy boundaries, really. And so the title of my talk is called Setting Healthy Boundaries, Learning to Stay on Your Page with Self-Care and Respectful Healthy Boundaries in Speech with Your Husband and Others. All right, it's a huge title, and it may not be what you're expecting to hear, but this is what the Lord really spoke to my heart. All right, so good morning. So turn to the gal next to you, because I see a couple new faces, I think, and just say welcome and God bless you. And it's nice to spread our blessings around, right? All right, so when preparing this lesson, one of the commentaries said on this particular section of Exodus, he said, well, this is the part of Exodus that most pastors like to skip over. So I don't know if you read it or not, but you might have found it about as enticing as reading a law library, legal documents, because it has a lot of legally type language in it. And but I was really pleased that Diana didn't skip over it, because if it's in the Bible, then it's important, right? We can't just dismiss it. Diana chose to highlight the healthy boundaries as inspired from the reading of Exodus 20:22-24:18, and basically what's called the Book of the Covenant. Now, honestly, I thought the Book of the Covenant was the same as the Ten Commandments. When I've heard that in the past, I just kind of thought of it all the same thing, but they're not. The Ten Commandments are what were told to Moses by God, but they're written in stone by the finger of God, all right? The tablets of God. The tablets written on stone by the finger of God. But the Book of the Covenant are really extensions of day-to-day ways to live out those commandments, right? First, God gave Israel the moral law, the Big Ten, which we spoke about last week. And if you haven't, listen to the podcast, because they're actually, I think, very helpful. And you can learn to recite them. I gave you the 10 finger way to recite them, and Beth sent that out this week. So if you haven't learned the 10 commandments, quick and easy way on your fingers to learn the 10 commandments. All right. And then now he's going to show Israel then how to apply the 10 commandments in real life situations. And so while reading them is a bit, again, like reading a kind of a dry law document, we probably don't find them very entertaining, but they do have value because they guide us into godliness. And that's what scripture is meant to do, is to guide us into godliness. And somebody had asked a question even last week, I think, in my small group, and it was about, well, didn't other cultures have similar law codes and other things? And yes, the Hammurabi Code, which I think is 1700 BC, is very similar in the way that it, you know, makes a code for living. The very unique thing about Israel's code for living is it gave legal protection for women and the poor, and it's a real covenant with God, right? These were not made up by man, but they're a list of legal codes, but they were given to man by God. So it's not the same. They're not the same. And this beautiful protection, it shows this hesed, the the love of God as a protector and father to the orphan, the widow, the poor. And it's something you really do not see in other ancient codes and documents of law. So Diana drew out the theme in today's Billion Basics of setting healthy boundaries. And I confess, I'll go ahead and confess right up front, setting healthy boundaries is not my forte. All right, it's just not. I tend to overextend because I want to help everyone and I want to do everything. And if I was really honest, I think I can probably do a lot of things a lot better than other people. So I say yes, because I think I can do a really good job at it, you know? And sometimes it's to my own detriment. But I have learned a few things over the, I'm not going to say, few years I have lived on this earth. And I'm going to share them with you today. And I want to zoom in on a couple things. And one is setting healthy boundaries for ourselves to be able to administer self-care, which is way more important than you might think. And even saying the word self-care is kind of hard for me. Full disclosure. All right. And then the second thing is setting healthy boundaries for my mouth. Okay. And what I say to others, especially the way I speak to my husband and to my family. All right. So I know this may not be at all what you're expecting to get out of this lesson, but since this section really is about day-to-day godly living, I think it is very applicable, okay? So what I share with you really has helped me so much dealing with my own personal life and dealing with the person I love the most, which is my husband. And I need to show him that and within my own family unit, all right? And so I confess this is a difficult teaching for me, all right? Because like I said, I struggle with boundaries and either saying yes to too much or trying to control things. Right? It's difficult sometimes to know actually when to say yes, when to say no, right? Or when not to say anything at all, okay? So I'm dealing with a situation right now with my mom, and it's been very difficult. And honest to goodness, this lesson really helped me. So I'm praying that will help you too. So I'm gonna show you a book. It's a controversial book. All right, and some of you may love it, and some of you may hate it, and some of you may go, blah, 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 I'm not listening to a word she says, but I pray that you will, because what she has to say in this book, while you may not like it, it is pure gold, all right? And it is this book. It came out in 2017. It's called The Empowered Wife. The Empowered Wife, all right? It used to have another title, but it didn't sell. So she changed the title. All right.
What's the title? Do you know?
Who's the author?
I do. And I'm not going to tell it to you until later. Okay, all right. Laura Doyle. And she made the talk. It's a New York Times bestseller. And so is she. And it made the New York. She is a New York Times bestselling author. And she made the talk show circuit because what she says is controversial. And of course, everybody loves a good controversy, right? So anyway, so I'm just going to tell you, but some of the things she says in here literally have changed my life, all right? So for what that is worth, and I'm going to read some of it to you, all right? So, all right, so it's not just also for helping me in my marriage, but it's also helped me with my kids and in other relationships. And it really has helped me in setting boundaries for self-care and in what I say and how I say it to my husband and to others. And remember, this is from this book, not this book. Okay? There's a big difference.
Yeah.
This is from this book, not this book. It's from Laura Doyle, not God. All right? And so you can take it or not. All right? But I'm just sharing with you that it's been very helpful to me. All right, so, and then I'm also gonna share with you a little bit from a book that I didn't have because I've given out so many of them, and it's called For Women Only by Shanti Feltham. And if y'all haven't read that book, it is, again, pure gold, all right? So this is things that are inspired by Exodus, but not found in Exodus, all right? And this is setting healthy boundaries for myself and what I say to others, especially my husband, based on life experience, all right? Okay, so let's start with self-care, all right? Our first priority should be to fill our cup each morning, and it's not with a cup of Joe or tea. It really should be with love from God, right? So just remember that. The first thing in the morning, fill your cup, all right, till it overflows with love. But that's from God, all right? And we need to dedicate our whole day to Him, because that really does change kind of how we live our day. And we can do this each morning through a quiet time. And I'm sure many, many of you have quiet times, but I'll just tell you how I do it. That's been so beautiful and helpful to me, because ultimately it's God who fills us and fulfills us. And we can offer everything that we do to Him joyfully. But we first really do need to get our cups filled so we can offer ourselves and all that we do back to Him based on what He's given to us. Does that make sense? It's just like this beautiful reciprocal love affair, so to speak. He fills, we give back, He fills, we give back, you know, and because it's hard to give from an empty tank. And no one on this earth can fill us and satisfy us like God can. So we must first seek Him and His kingdom. And so I do this each morning. I go to daily mass. Some of you may or may not like to do that, but I love it. And then I have my quiet time. I read the readings that are, you know, the daily church readings. But I do it as Lectio Divina, and I ask the Lord to open my heart and to give me one word or phrase that for that day that He has for me out of that reading. And then I do something called palms down, palms up. And so I put my palms down, and I just spill my heart out to the Lord, and I kind of give Him my laundry list and all that's on my heart. I offer Him my day. I just kind of like have a chat, you know, with God. And then I try to, as long as I've been blabbering, I try to give equal time with palms up of being quiet, of just sitting and just letting the Lord, not saying a word, just letting the Lord love on me. And that's how I start my day. All right, so first of all, and I think of it as like putting my own oxygen mask on. So then the next part, I have not always taken super seriously, because I'm a strong and healthy person that God has given exuberant energy. As my mother would say, I am hyperactive. And I have always lived by the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Philippians 4:13. And I've really taken it seriously, all right? All things. And He can, and He does. But I and you need to know when to say no thank you when you are requested to do something by others, not only for your own self-care, but ultimately for our care of others, right? Because if we're depleted, then we can't really love and serve those probably that need us most, which are really our tightest circle, which is our family, right? And then our friends. So Laura Doyle basically puts it this way. She says, if you get worn out and start looking for others, especially your husband, to meet all your happy needs, you will probably be very unhappy, and so will he. So the first thing is spend the time with God, like we were just talking about. And then Laura suggests that you make a list of things that make you happy, all right? Even little bitty tiny things, like taking a walk just around the block or going to an exercise class. I have heard that some people actually like doing that. All right, all right, all right. If you don't, then don't put it on the list, all right? Or getting your nails done, or soaking in a hot bathtub, or talking to a friend on the phone, or painting or reading a book uninterrupted for a little while. And she says the more frivolous, the better. And she says, give yourself permission to do three of those a day. Three of those a day. She says that it will give you permission then to say no to other asks. Now, I have found this completely liberating. I'm not kidding you. It has been a joyful thing in my life to embrace this. And when my daughter just comes in and interrupts, and usually I have found myself at the beck and call of most anyone and everyone. But now when she comes in and says, can you do this? And it usually means because she doesn't want to do it, or I just happened to be the first one she ran into that she thought she could talk into doing it, right? I now say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't. And in my mind, I think, I can't do it right now because that would interrupt my self-care. And that is very important to me and ultimately to you if you want me to be a nice person.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's learning to set healthy boundaries, right? for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be laying in the lap of luxury and eating bonbons and saying no to everything. I really don't think that that is the main problem, I'm going to be honest, of most Christian women. I think probably most of us take on too much. I mean, I am the poster child.
You are.
I am the poster child, all right? And I think learning to help to set healthy boundaries and learning that, you know what, I do way more than I would ever ask of anyone else. And sometimes I have to say, are you being good to your, are you taking care of yourself? Are you being good to yourself? Because you probably wouldn't want your, you know, your sister or your mother or somebody else to do end up as tired as you are or doing what you're doing. So if I do not practice self-care in even the smallest ways of finding joy in life every day, somehow I end up joyless, dried out, dried up, bitter, sometimes angry, and I take it out and I snap at my husband and my children and, you know, the people I'm supposed to love and be loving too. And I start looking for them for ways that they can make me happy, right? And, but they'll never be able to fill my love tank up because God is who fills up my love tank. So I can tell, it's like a mirror. I can tell when I haven't been getting what I need from God and setting some good self-care, healthy boundaries, right? All right, so we need to set healthy, happy boundaries and practice self-care, starting with putting God first and letting Him fill us up, and then learning to love and care for ourselves through healthy boundaries so that we can be loving and giving to others. And it's like putting on our oxygen mask, and then we can care for others. So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask that you do something. Does it, almost everybody have your book? And if you don't, I'll try to find your piece of paper. I just want to take literally 1 minute, 1 minute of silence, ladies. And on page 140 is a blank page. So that's the last, that's the first page of the next chapter, the last page of this chapter. On page 140, you'll see a blank page. And I just want you to take 1 minute and just off the top of your head, write down 10 things, and you might not get 10 things, but 10 things that make you happy. But like joy, Marie Kondo says, touch joy that bring you joy. And it can be so silly. And you don't have to share it with anyone, and they're all going to look different. Because some people may think getting your nails done is the biggest waste of time. That would be me, because they wreck them by the time I get in the door. Or that, you know, for me, what makes me 10 times happier is going outside and picking some herbs out of my garden. That is my happy. So you write down just very quickly 10 things that bring you joy. 10 things that bring you joy. For those that are just joining in, we're writing down 10 things that bring us joy. It can be very, very frivolous. You got, but we're on a tight rope. You can finish that list later, all right?
Okay.
All right, but I feel like, especially in this area, because it is funny, when we went to Australia, they probably practice this all the time. I've never seen such happy, nice people. Australians are just very relaxed, you know, no worries, mate. You know, they're just easygoing. And here it's like, you know, I cannot, you know, I'm like maneuvering, trying to get one car in front of somebody else, and we're all going to get there within 5 seconds of each other, kind of a thing. And so I feel like we are wound a little tight, you know, around here. So what are 10 things? And then try to bake those into your day. Make a little allowances in your day for things that bring you joy. Because God has created us to have a beautiful, joyful life. He wants us to have an abundant life. And my friend Julie Dudley, if you're listening, Julie, used to say, she thinks that when we get to heaven, God's going to ask us one question. And it's, well, did you enjoy it? Did you have fun? and you know, I don't know if fun is necessarily it, but I think it is enjoying what God has created and given to us, I think is really going to be He made it. He delights in delighting us. So we need to take time to delight in him and the things he's given us. Okay, so now we're going to go to number two. All right, and this is really a hard subject. Now, some of you will say, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. All right, so I thought I was very good at respecting healthy boundaries with my husband until I read this book. All right, I realized that my mouth does not always respect healthy boundaries with him or show that I respect him in general. All right, respect, believe it or not, is the number one thing that a man needs. Not just wants, needs. We can kick and scream and say that it shouldn't be like this, that they need to get over it, but it is how they are made. It really is how they are hardwired. We all want, everybody wants to be loved and respected, but the truth is, so many studies have shown that women long to be loved and men long to be respected, and how that plays out in our life. Men will choose respect over love any day, because for a man, and I say men, and it's not 100% of men, but close, respect is how they know they are loved. It's how they receive love. Respect shows that they are trusted. And without going into too much, oftentimes men become workaholics because they are trusted and respected at work. But when they get home, it's a completely other story. And I have known women, the same thing. They end up, because they're good at their job, but they feel like they're failures when they walk in the door, all right? They come home and they find out all the things that we want them to do. We tell them how to do it. And we want to tell them how they're, you know, the things they're doing wrong. And Laura speaks to this in a section called On Relinquishing Control of Your Man, and in a chapter she calls Stay on Your Own Paper. All right, and her book is very insightful to show the inner life of men, and this is the stuff I think that they wish that we knew about them, but they don't tell us, or thought we already knew because they know it. And I'm going to read it to you, just a little bit of this, because we don't have a ton of time and I have like 50 more pages and we're not going to get to all of it, but I'm just telling you. I just want to just highlight this part, all right, because it really is insightful to men in general.
Can you see what page it is?
Yes, this is page 115 of The Empowered Wife by Laura Doyle, all right, and she says this: all control is based in fear. If you're not afraid, you don't need to try to control what your husband says on the phone, what he eats for lunch, or how much money he spends. If you've ever corrected your husband's driving or told him what to wear or when to mow the lawn, you are suffering from the illusion that you could control them. I know this sounds extreme, I once thought so too, but over time I came to see that knowing where I end and my husband begins and behaving accordingly was absolutely critical to having a great relationship and improved the rest of my life in many big ways too. So she says the prescription is, if you have a hard time refraining from commenting on something that your husband's responsibility or decision, ask yourself this. 1, what am I afraid of? 2, is my fear realistic? 3, can I actually control this situation? 4, is it worth the intimacy it would cost me to try to control this? When you feel the urge to control, try asking yourself these questions. First, to empower yourself to make a choice about whether to say what's on the tip of your tongue or to focus on your own happiness and self-care instead. All right. She goes on and she talks about how, I mean, and here, she's the guru. I'm not trying to dictate and tell your husband what to do. And he was driving her to a radio interview to tell women how not to control their husbands. And she leans over and she tells him which way to turn. And he just raises an eyebrow and says, I'm gonna roll down the windows and let the hypocrisy out of the car. She's really funny too. And she says, but what's wrong with offering a little navigational tip, you might argue? What if my way is faster, better? Shouldn't I be able to say so? She says, of course, I can say whatever I want. We all can. But there are definite downsides to micromanaging my husband's driving. A, it's annoying, for one thing. So it hurts the intimacy and connection between us. In addition, there isn't much upside to backseat driving. Going straight instead of turning left and then arriving at the same place around the same time isn't exactly a big payoff. No, saying anything about the way he drives and taking the opportunity, not saying anything about the way he drives, and I love this, because she always replaces a negative with a positive, and taking the opportunity to laugh and talk together on the way instead of has a huge upside. Doing that every day for years and years makes our time in the car together sweet and fun. Isn't that lovely? Because I have to tell you, I am the world's worst backseat driver and I sit in the front seat, all right? And it's not good. All right, so then she goes on and she says that marriage is her number one self-improvement project. She says, the reason being married has been such an effective teacher is that every day I'm faced with my spouse mirror. I get an immediate and accurate reflection of my energy from my husband. When I'm happy and playful, he's typically attentive and affectionate. When I'm controlling, he's reliably distant and defensive. When I'm vulnerable, he's quick to respond with tenderness and protection. When I'm grateful, he looks for every moment that he can delight me. When I treat him respectfully, it engenders passion and adoration. When I'm anxious, he tries to comfort me, unless I'm anxious about him or something he's responsible for. Then we're back to distant and defensive. In other words, he's a reliable barometer for my attitude, which I have complete control over. Granted, he's also a separate person and he has complete control over his own attitude and he is human, he says. But the most shocking part of all was finding out that most of the time my husband was reflecting back to me what I was bringing to the party. In other words, I recognized that I had a lot of power, much more than I realized. All right, so then she's gonna say, she prays the serenity prayer a lot. And she knows how, she prays it for her marriage and for how to deal with others. And it is, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, which I'm sure many of you know. And she talks a little bit about that, and it's pretty funny what she has to say. And she says now her serenity prayer for her marriage is more like a flow chart, and it looks like this. Oh, okay, first I have to read this, and then we're gonna probably close with this because I know it's probably time. Oh yeah, it's time. Okay, and I didn't get to the other stuff, but anyway. She says, here's a metaphor I've come to rely on for deciding if I should comment on something with my husband.
Good.
I ask myself if this is something that's on my paper. As a kid in school, it was very tempting to look at someone else's paper to see if she was doing the homework right. But ultimately, my grade was a reflection of what was on my paper when I turned it in, not hers. I was responsible for and only responsible for my own work. Today, when I ask myself if something's on my paper, I think about everything I'm responsible for and in control of, such as how I dress, what I say, what tone of voice I use, my attitude, which websites I visit, who I talk to, where I go, what I eat, how much I sleep, and whether or not I floss. Everything that I don't have direct control over, responsibility for, and choice about is not on my paper. And therefore, I don't need to worry about it. That would take energy away from what's on my paper. My version of the serenity prayer is more like a flow chart. And she says, God, whose paper is this on? An answer, and she says, it is far more often than you think. Answer A, not mine. And she says, well, then help me be respectful and grateful for that. And then the other answer is, Yep, that's on your paper. And she says, well, help me to be brave enough to honor my desire about it and to do it. So, I don't know if y'all have found this helpful. I have found it very helpful. I know we're going to be talking about healthy boundaries as far as civic things and other things go. But I have to tell you, I know, and according to the statistics and everything I read, believe it or not, your husband does want to make you happy. Happy wife, happy life. And believe it or not, it also plays into making them feel good. Because if they've been able to please you, then what? Then you respect them. Like it's all kind of like all one ball of wax. Like if they can please you, then it's good for them too. Get it? And so she says, instead of commanding our husbands around or demanding or even sons or whoever you're dealing with, or even children, I have found it with my own children, instead of saying, well, you need to do this, you need to do this, if you'll express things as a desire, like I'd love a glass of water, they'll be like, oh, I'll get that for you. But if I say, and he's sitting down somewhere, could you go get me a glass of water, please get me a glass of water, he kind of looks at me like, well, why don't you just get up your fanny and get it yourself. Like he doesn't say that, but I can tell that's the attitude. And she says, if you'll express things as a desire, then it leaves room for your husband to be creative in how he answers it. And she gives all kinds of beautiful examples, and it really is true, because what that says is, I trust you. I trust in the way that you're going to try to do this. And that's what a man wants, because his two biggest fears are feeling inadequate and being disrespected. And when you express your trust in your husband and you respect him, that fills him up like nothing else. And I know everybody thinks the number one thing a man wants is sex. It's really respect, but sex is next. And the reason why is because that is how one way they feel respected. That a wife who they can be vulnerable with, and it says that men are really lonely in general. You know, most men don't have a lot of really, really close friends, and that their wife is really their soulmate, their heart. And while women are more relational, and we get together and chit-chat, men don't normally, in general, do that. And so when you connect emotionally and physically with your husband, it's the most beautiful thing for him, because you are the God-given one that God gave him to do that with. And so it's just a beautiful thing that we can do for our husbands that nobody else can, nobody else should. So enjoy it, be with him, and learn to speak his love language, which is respect and trust, and learn for yourself to set healthy boundaries so that you have something to give. Because if we don't, then we are going to be in trouble. And we are going to be trying to drive a car with an empty tank. That's my piece. God bless you. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you so much for this day. I pray that we can learn to help set healthy boundaries for ourselves and for our mouths and how we treat others, and know what's on our page and what's on somebody else's page. Lord, help us to relinquish control to you ultimately, and know what is within our boundaries and what is not within our boundaries, Lord. And then help us to be satisfied and grateful for what you've given us to tend to. Thank you, Lord. We ask this now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
And let me just say, there is a book here someone left. It's on this little thing here.
Thank you. A study book.
And to the pair of readers. So someone, please look at that if you've lost your reader. I don't need a